Okay, Bruchim Abayim. Welcome.
Rebecca. Yeah. I met Mrs. Sperber on the bus coming here, and I told her about the shiur.
Oh, so welcome.
I won't be able to stay for the full.
Okay, the way we structured is that we say a few different things. So you can come first 10 minutes, last 10 minutes, or the middle 10 minutes. So that's how. So that's fine. Anyway, welcome everybody to Parshas Emor. First, we want to make it a refuah shleima for Shleima ben Sion ben Lesha, the Rav of the Shul Radavin, is going for surgery next week. You should have a refuah shleima. Chayarus bas Sasha, Peril bas Miriam, and Miriam bat Victoria. They should all have Bezach Rufu Shlema. So we're during the time of Svira, and if you remember last week, we spoke about the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, who died in this time, and we said that part of the, that, you know, it says, Shalonogu kavod zeh lazeh, they didn't give kavod to each other, and everybody used matmiya. They didn't give kavod to each other. I mean, Rabbi Akiva was one of after l'racha kamayich zeh klal gadol b'tayra. So one of the pshatim we said is that really they didn't nagu kavod zeh lazeh, and so much so that it was almost absurd to say differently. But what happens? They were killed by the Romans in one of the Roman, unfortunately, the Romans massacres, and therefore, but they couldn't say it in the history. They had to cover it up. And they wanted to know, they couldn't say the Romans killed him, just like the Megillah is very nice to Achashverosh, even though we say he was as much of a murderer and a Ritzeach as Haman was. But we have to be nice to them, so therefore it says something that was totally ridiculous, Shalonogu kavod zeh lazeh, that nobody's buying. So therefore, that was the reason that stands to be given, but was given dafka reason that everyone should say, oh, that's not really the reason, because it's impossible, because we know these people and they're wonderful to each other. So it must be the real reason the Romans killed them, but we can't say it. And that was a pshat that we said.
Why
so
then?
That's because no, they, it says that kivin should nut reshus lamashkus lahashkus lo nifkin b'tayvin l'royim. That once there's a gezera on the whole sibur on a klal, so then already doesn't, there's no gauging. In other words, an individual, you could say, did he deserve it or not deserve it? But when there's a gezera set sibur, so that could be that everybody was nitfus. And there was a reason why it had to happen as a klal. For example, the base of Mikdash destroyed. There's a holocaust. Tzaddikim died too, so unfortunately. Okay, let's start with the parsha, and then we're going to go on to talk about Lag Baomer. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Emor el HaKohanim, it's on page 349, say to the Kohanim, B'nei Aaron v'amarta aleihem l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav, it gives the whole Torah of a Kohen not being able to be touch a dead person, or go into an oil hames. We know how careful Kohanim are today, that they don't go into a cemetery, they're not allowed to go to a cemetery, they're not, there are many things they can't do even when they fly to Eretz Yisrael. If you speak to a Kohen, they'll tell you they don't fly in every flight with El Al. Some are more makel, some are less makel because of the fact that they carry mason. It's, being a Kohen has an entire set of rules that we are not familiar with. It has, of course, privileges as well. They get the first aliyah, they get to bench everybody.
And my grandson, who's a Kohen, says, he's all up for yourself, he says you deserve first.
Very good. Okay, see, they teach him young. Okay, good. So it says, Kim l'sheira ha'karav he'lav le'ima le'avid levno levitu l'ach l'chaisai. So there's a famous Rashi here that says, why does the Torah tell us, Emor el kohanim b'nei Aaron v'yamarta leim, say to b'nei the kohanim b'nei Aaron, and say to them, why say double? So Rashi says, l'hazer g'daylim al ha'katanim, to tell the adults that they have to teach the children the proper way to go in life. So there's a famous question that the Reb Zalman Sirotzkin asks, that l'char, this is true of all mitzvahs, right? If a child touches something that's muksas, so a parent's job is to say, you know, Shefula, that's muksa, or that's not kosher, that you have to have a hechsher, you can't just eat anything, and so on. So why is this special? So he answers that when the father tells a child, let's say about Shabbos, not to touch something muksa on Shabbos, so the child looks around, and he says, everybody's not touching it. He's not alone, everybody's doing that as well. So he accepts that that's part of what you do as a yid. However, when it comes to a kayan, he says, he gives an example, there's a gadol hador was nifter, and the children come home from school, and they're all eager to go to the levaya. The whole world is going to be going, and he comes home, he says, Tati, we're going to levaya. And he says, no, we're not. And he says, why not? He says, because we're Kahanim, right? So we have to teach them not only the privileges, but we have to teach them they're different. So he says, when people are different than others...
They just stay outside.
Well, they stay outside, but you know, it means he wasn't going to be going inside. Obviously, meant he wasn't going inside, yeah. It's not the same. If you talk to Kahanim, then when it's pouring and raining, they're outside. It's not so, you know. So, but he's telling him, you're different than everybody else. To be different, that's something that the parents have to teach the children. And that's how we understand Lazer Gedol Maktan. So why is it here? Because as we'll see, it really applies to every Jew and not just to the Kahanim. So this, as we said, this is the season of the Sfira, and this Sunday, Mirtzah Hashem, will be the Yontav Lag Baomer. Now, why is Lag Baomer famous? Why is it a big day? So one reason, of course, that's when the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva didn't die, so they make a special, we don't say Tachlin, make a special Chag, but just as important, especially in the Hasidic world, it was also the yard site of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, the Rashbi. And Rav Shimon ben Yochai was on that day, so therefore Lag Baomer became a time of great celebration. If you, they make maduras, they make the Eish. I mean, we've talked about this in the past. Why they make why bows and arrows? The whole Bnei Yisus. Why bows and arrows? Why they make fires and so everything? But today we're going to talk about a different aspect of Lag Baomer, and that is I saw in the from Pinchas Friedman in the Shvilei Pinchas. So he has a beautiful mimer that explains that there's really the Arizal says that there's a connection between Reb Shimon ben Yochai and the story of Reb Shimon Yochai, which we'll learn shortly, and the story of Yaakov Avinu and Lavan. And there's even a remez. And believe it or not, there's even a Chassam Sofer who talks about it. What's the story? Take a look at page 92. And we have the story of Yaakov leaves Lavan. He's going home. He's going back. He's going away from Lavan. And Lavan catches up with him. Remember the whole story with the trophim and everything. Lavan comes running. So Vayan Lavan Vayomer El Yaakov Pesik Mem Gimel. Lavan says to Yaakov, Habanas Benaisa Habana Banav Etzon Sinai, and so on. He throws a little tantrum, and then he says, in Mem Dalet, he sees that he's not going to be able to overcome Yaakov with force. So what does he do? V'ata lecha nichras bris. Let's make a bris. Ani v'ata, me and you. V'ayil aid beini v'necha, and it will be a testimony between the two of us. So look, what does Yaakov do? Yaakov does something very fascinating, something I've always wondered about, and now I think we're going to have a nice answer. Vayika Yaakov Evan, v'yirmeh matzeva. He takes the stone, he makes it into a matzeva, a monument. Okay, so you want to signify they made a treaty, you put up a monument. Vayomer Yaakov le'echo, but then Yaakov does the second thing. And I never understood this. And we're going to have a very beautiful pshat in this session. Vayomer Yaakov le'achav, Yaakov says to his brothers, Liktu avon, grab some stones, gather stones. And Rashi says, who are his brothers? His children. And Rashi says, sometimes you call children heim bonav, shoye lo achim nigoshim l'tzar, because they were like brothers that are always there to help yat. Like a brother is always, your brother's there for you, your sister's there for you. So they were there, they're called brothers. So he calls his brothers, who were really his sons, which itself is a good question. Why did the Torah say that? Lik to Avonim, let's gather stones. Vayikra Avonim, and they gathered stones. Vayasu Gal, and they made a mound. Vayayik L'Sham Al HaGal. They make a big mound, and then they go have a meal on the mound. What is this talking about? What's the purpose of this mound? Why did they make a mound? So they made a matzeva already to commemorate that they made a treaty, but why did they make a mound? What's the purpose? Vayikra lo Lavan Yagar Sadusa. Not only do they make a mound, but they give it a name. Lavan calls it Yagar Sadusa, which Sadusa is Aramaic for testimony, and he guess Yagar Sadusa must be a mound of testimony. Yaakov Karlo Galait, and then Lavan calls it one name, Yaakov calls it a second name, he calls it Hebrew, he calls it Aramaic. Vayomer Lavan, and Lavan gives a speech, as he was wont to do. You think somebody should write the collective speeches of Lavan. He gives a lot of good speeches. Vayomer Lavan, Hagal Hazeh Eid, this gal, this mound should be a testimony, being even echad, right? The matzeva is gone. We don't talk about the matzeva anymore. We're talking about the gal. Hayayim al kain karashmo galeid. Therefore, we call the name of the place Galeid. Okay? Va'mitzbah asher omar yitzaf Hashem bini v'necha kini soser ishmereyu. Here's what he says. Imtan es benoyis and so on. And they make it a separate. Then pasuk nun beis Ein hagal azev eda matseva. Now we go back to matseva. Im ani lo ever lecha es hagal azev. I won't go over the gal to go to you. Vim ata lo saver elias hagal azev. Vesa matseva zois l'ro. In other words, this shows that we're going to, you know what they say, very current to political politics, is good walls make good fences make good neighbors, right? So he said, we're going to make a fence, we're going to make this gal, this mound is going to be between us. So l'chaira, he doesn't talk about this, is what I'm going to say, Mi'at Hashem, hopefully by the time we get to the end of this Dvar Torah, is why a mound? Why do we make a fence? If they wanted to make a separation between them, build a fence or build a few matzevas that should, the Maginot line. Or Maginot line? Okay, you make a thing. Why did they make a mound? What's conceptually a mound? What are you doing? And why did they eat a meal on top of the mound? It's all very strange. It's like, here we have some... cups. Anyway, why do we make a mound? What is this all about? So listen to what he says, and then we'll come back to what I'd like to share with you. Beautiful. So the first thing we're going to do is understand that the word gal, says the Arizal, that the word gal is the same letters as the word lag. So the gal, he says that Yaakov Avinu was preparing the way for Lag Baomer. He made a gal, which is the same letters, Gimel Lamed backward, and he made a gal, and he made something that's going to be preparing for Lag Baomer. So what does that mean? What is the Arizal telling us? Furthermore, the Chassam Sofer says that the word Lamed Gimel, what's the Gemak? If you take the letters Lamed and Gimel, Lamed is Lamed Mem Dalet, Gimel is Gimel Mem Lamed, right? And you take the Gematria of that, is 147. I checked it. Who lived 147 years?
Yaakov
Avinu. Says the Chassam Sofer, there's a gematria relationship we see between Rav Shimon ben Yochai and Yaakov Avinu. So what Rav Shimon ben Yochai did, he's going to learn from Yaakov. Somehow there's a connection between Yaakov Avinu. This Chassam Sofer, right? There's not a Rizal. This Chassam Sofer is more halachic. The Rizal was more Kabbalistic. But he said, even that there's a connection here, we have to understand what was the story of Rav Shimon Yochai, how does the story of Yaakov Avinu connect with the story of Rav Shimon Yochai, why did he make a mound, why did he eat on the mound, and in Yitzhak Hashem, it'll all be beautiful. So let's take a look. The Gemara in Shabbos...
Gal is 33, right?
What?
Gal is 33.
Gal is 33. Right. And Lag is 33, right, exactly. It's the same letter, not only the same Gemara, the same letters.
Yeah.
So believe it or not, on Daf Lamed Gimel, on folio 33 in Masechta Shabbos, which is also interesting, because it's also going to be the 33rd quote from Rav Shimon ben Yochai. It's going to come out to be, everything's 33s today. So the Gemara says like this, there was a story. It says, here's the story. The Yos, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yais, Rabbi Shimon, were sitting together. The Yosef Yehuda ben Gerim Gabayu, and Yehuda ben Gerim was sitting with them. His name was Yehuda ben Gerim because obviously he was somehow came from Gerim. Pasur Yehuda v'Amr. So Yehuda gets up, who was known as the Reish Medabrim B'chol Mokim, and he says, "Kama noy my same shall umazu. How beautiful are the deeds of this nation, the Romans that we live amongst them. Tiknu shvakim, they make marketplaces. Tiknu gisharim, they make bridges. Tiknu merchatzos, they make bathhouses. Wonderful." Beautiful. These nice things he's saying, giving a speech, a good patriotic speech, right? Okay, number one. Rabbi Yaisi, so what did they, so that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaisi Shasak, Rabbi Yaisi didn't say anything. Then Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai v'Amar, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai gets up and he says, Kol ma'ashe tiknu tiknu elo tzerechas, and they all did it for themselves. Tiknu shvakim laish ben zainas, they made shvakim to make places, they made marketplaces to have immorality. Merchatzos, why they make bathhouses, lahadim b'hem atzmon, to make themselves beautiful. Gisharim, why they make bridges? Litol mehem mechas, so they could charge tolls. So the tolls, but it's not a new thing. So Halav Yehuda ben Gerim the secret v'reim. So Yehuda ben Gerim told it over, and it says he didn't tell it to the Romans. Chas v'shalom, he was an erlich from a people. But you know how it goes. He told one of them, told his wife, and his wife told her kids, and the kids told the friends, and the friends told until it gets back to the Romans. V'nishmil malchus. So what they do? Amru Yehuda Rebuta said nice things about Shisala. We're going to give him elevate him. We'll give him a nice job, a title. Yaisi Shasak, Yaisi was quite Gila. We'll put him in Gullus. Yaka Shimon Shagina. Shimon said nice things. Yar we're going to execute him. So what did Rav Shimon ben Yochai do? Rav Shimon ben Yochai ran away, right? And he hid in the cave with his son Rav Elazar ben Shimon, and they were there for 12 years. And the great Torah that we have in the Zohar, those 12 years he rose to incredible greatness together with son Rav Elazar, so much so that after 12 years they came out of the Marah, they came out of the cave, because the Caesar died. So when the Caesar dies, the Gezeirah's off, they came out of the cave. It says, everybody look, got burned up. There was a farmer walking with his crops, and they looked at him and they said, whoa, this is a bad guy, you know, how could he dare leave Tyre in order to do this? And so they went and everything got burned up, so they had to go back into the Marah for another year. They had to go in until they were ready to sort of come down off the mountain, so to speak. They were ready to come out of the Marah, and that's what they did. So the question is, what was Rav Shimon ben Yochai thinking? He knew that there's a halacha that anything that's said ba'apei plus in front of three people is not private. When you say something, there's a halacha that there's the thing called chavad yisle. Everybody, you have a friend. The chavad yisle, and the friend's friend has a friend. So anything said in front of three people is going to get out. And especially if you'd have been gay, somebody was seeing there wasn't like part of the conversation. You'd have been gay with his name. Must have been. So what was Rav Shimon ben Yochai's kavana? Why would Rav Shimon ben Yochai say something that's going to put him into such potential danger? What was he thinking? So he explains like this. What his kavana was, is that he knew that there's halacha Esav Seinu LeYaakov. Esav Seinu LeYaakov. Esav does not like Yaakov. Esav hates Yaakov. But how Esav hates Yaakov changes. It changes, we all know, from the beginning of Vayishlach, it changes. Sometimes Esav assimilates Yaakov, is very nice to him, and is very geschmack with him. And other times, Esav is Nebuchadnezzar, you know, and so on. In our own day, we see the other type of Esav Nebuch. So what was he worried about? What he was worried about was when he heard Rabbi Yehuda saying how nice the Romans are, and maybe Rabbi Yehuda had to say it. In other words, it could be they had to give that speech. Because when you're the official rabbi, you know, you have to say what's good for the malchus. So Rav Shimon Yochai said, maybe you'd have to say, but I'm seeing now a danger. The danger is that people start thinking that how wonderful they are and how geschmack they are. And I have to make a macha, I have to make a protest in order to keep them away, that they shouldn't fall into the trap of Esav's being too nice. So when Rashbi heard Rabbi Yehuda been praising the Romans for establishing marketplaces, building bridges, bathhouses, which were used and frequented by Yisrael as well, he grasped their evil intent. They did not forbid Yidden from using the facilities because they wished to corrupt Yisrael by having them assimilate with them. And therefore, that's what he said. So he said, that they didn't do it, they did it for themselves. Don't think they did it to be nice to us. Adarav, they did it in order to assimilate us. And that's what we have to be careful about. And that's what it says, Oyhave Hashem Sinu Ra, Sharmanashas Chasidim Yad Rishayim. We have to watch out. He has to be careful from the people who surround us, because when there's a certain friendliness, it could be for a reason of assimilation that we have to be careful. So Rabbi Yehuda said nice on them, which he had to. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, but I got to say something the other way, in order to counterbalance in the people's minds that in him. Where did Rav Shimon ben Yochai learn it from? He learned from Rabbi Akiva. It says, apparently he learned from his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. What happened? Rabbi Akiva actually did sacrifice his life. Rav Shimon ben Yochai escaped. Rabbi Akiva, what was the story of Rabbi Akiva? Tanu Rabbanan. You're all familiar with the story. Pamachas, Gazer, Malchus, Rishah, Shlo Yaska, Yisrael, B'Torah. One time the wicked nation, that means the Romans, said they shouldn't learn Torah. Ba Papas ben Yehuda, Umatzel Rabbi Kiva. Papas ben Yehuda came to Rabbi Kiva, Shayamako Kihilos Barabim. He was gathering people to learn Torah, Vice Batara. Amalei, Akiva, Iata Misyare, Mimide Malchus. Aren't you afraid of the Malchus, the Romans? Amalei, Amshalacha Mashal. I'll tell you the famous Mashal. Lama Darvadaina. What's it like, Lishuol? There was a fox, Shayim Ahalach, Al-Gabi, Nor was by the river. V'ra dogim, Shayim Iskapsim, B'me'akim L'makim. They see that, the, you know, as fish do, you know, fish jump out of the water, they're going from place to place. So he says, Mi'etab Baruch, where are you running? Come on the dry land. Amalai, Yinei Rishasas, Shemeviyam Aleinu, we're worried about that. So the fox says, come with me. And they say, you know, we can't leave the water. So Rabbi Akiva said to him, it says in the Torah, "Hu chayech of arich yamecha im anu holch mevat limimena." If we don't learn Torah, for sure we're going to die. So if we go, either way we're lost. If we stop learning Torah, we're going to die, because that's all we have. So better we should do this. So he didn't give in. And he said, I'm going to keep teaching Torah. And he was taken caught for teaching Torah. And he was taken put to death for teaching Torah. So what was Rabbi Akiva's kavanah? What was Rabbi Akiva saying with the mashal of the fish and the fox? He was saying the same thing. When the fox told the fish, come live with me on land, we're all together, what did the fox really have in mind? He likes fish. He wants to eat the fish. Right? We know. We learn the story. We laugh. Right? We laugh. We say, ah, we know what the fox was all about, right? We know. But when it happens with us, we fall into the same trap. You know, they say that fish are like that. No matter how many fish get caught, the next one goes into the trap also. That they don't have safety, they don't have das, so they don't see. So he says that's what Rabbi Akiva was saying. Rabbi Akiva was saying, be very careful, because what they want to do in order to trap us, that we should fall into that. So Rabbi Akiva stood up, knowing he was going to die, knowing the sakana that he was putting himself into. But he says, if I don't do it, we're lost. Because everyone's going to assimilate. So I must stand up. Even if it's going to be very uncomfortable, it's going to be very not geschmack, and I might lose my life, which he did, I have to stop it anyway. So he says, that's when we have the Ace of Sinus Yaakov. Somebody has to get up and say the truth. Because as people start to slide, look what happened to Mordechai when they all went to eat from the Sudas Achashverosh, and Mordechai gave his speech. They all were mamish so mad at him. Right? We think of it, you know, how, you know, Mordechai, we look at Mordechai, how wonderful he was. It says one of the reasons at the end of the Megillah, it says that it was Ratzi L'Roi Vachov. He says, because the other ones were still mad at him, because they say he started the whole thing. So he saved us, but if he had just bowed down to Haman in the first place, he wouldn't have had that problem. So there were people still mad at him. We think it's all, you know, roses, but they were still mad at him afterwards. So the same thing over here.
But
what?
At the same time, yeah, when he told everybody to gather for those 3 days, they all, I read in versions, they recognized they had done wrong by attending the suit.
Okay, but there must have been some people. Yeah, okay, I saw that there were people were still. That's still.
They heard he was a little bit of the garden to the.
There was a garden to it, so maybe that they.
They did wrong, but he shouldn't have.
He shouldn't have started up in the first place, right? In other words, they realized they did tshuva because they realized, but they felt that he brought it on. At least that says, Ratzi L'Roi Vachov. That was only a minority felt that way. The majority understood what was going. But there's always some people. There's always, in any case, there's always some people. He says it brings from Rosham Shafael Hirsch. The Rosham Shafael Hirsch says, two of the best words that were said. When Avimelech told Yitzchak, so he says, Lech mi'imanu. So he says, go away from us. He says, who knows how many neshamas were saved when the Umas Oilam say, Lech mi'imanu. The hardest thing is when they say, Lech to us, not Lech mi'imanu. So Rabbi Akiva also. And where did Rabbi Akiva learn it from? Rabbi Akiva learned it from Yaakov Avinu. And Adarab, he brings from the also in the Rizal that Yaakov Avinu, from Yaakov. And the Isis of Akiva and Yaakov are actually, except for the Olive, the same Isis. So there's a Gilgal in the Neshama of every Akiva to sacrifice yourself in order to maintain that separation between the Umas Oilam and between Klal Yisrael was something learned out from Yaakov Avinu. We see it by Yaakov Avinu in a few places. Yaakov Avinu, if you take a look on page 98, in Pasuk Yud Beis, so what happens? So Esau wants to go together with Yaakov. You go first. I don't have to go together with you. You see that when Yaakov dealt with an Esau, when Yaakov dealt with a Lavan, it was always the same thing. It says, "Vayava Yaakov Besa." He went to his house. He went to his house to create the four walls around his mishpacha that they shouldn't be influenced. So Yaakov Avinu was teaching us that way, how you have to be meiser nefesh in order to maintain the integrity of Klal Yisrael, the separateness of Klal Yisrael. The Am Levad Yishkan of Klal Yisrael was very much something that Yaakov taught us, that we see throughout how Yaakov dealt with the Umas Oilam, how he dealt with Esav in parts of Yishlach, and he had dealt with Lavan. When he dealt with Lavan is also, he was telling him that we have to maintain that separateness. And this is, I think, now where we come back to our original Pasuk. If we take a look again at 92, it says Ve'an Lavan, and we make the whole thing, we ask the question about the Gal. So it seems that this was where Yaakov and Rabbi Akiva and Rav Shimon Yochai all came together. And this was the lesson of Lag BaOmer. This is what made Rav Shimon Yochai. Because he was willing to stand up in order to separate Klal Yisrael, in order to show that we have to be different. But it's only, and this is my thought, that it's only if it's going to be in a certain way. We ask the question, what's this inyan of a mound? And what's the inyan that they ate on the mound? And what's the inyan that he called his sons, his brothers, and got them together? And I think that what the Pasuk is telling us, the Torah is telling us, is that if we're different than the Umas Olam, but we're all the same, we're just separated, then we haven't accomplished. Then we're just different. We have to be higher. The mound, what is a mound? A mound makes you higher than the ground. You have a ground over here, and you make a mound, so you're higher than what came before. If we are higher, if we try and make ourselves better, we try and be more erlich, we try and be more refined, we try and be more straight, more moral, more everything good, then there's a reason to be separate. Then we've accomplished through that separateness. But if we're the same, just separate, I don't know what we accomplished. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu Dafki, he went and he made a gal, and he called his sons, and he said, called them his brothers, because these, but they were really his sons, because he said, I want to teach you a lesson, my children. I want to teach you a lesson that as a yid, we always have to be better. We always have to try and make ourselves. That's what we're all about, is trying to be an elite. But not because it's given to us, but because we deserve it. We earn it. We're going to build it. We're going to take stones, right? We're going to take, like we take mitzvah, we're going to take stones. We're going to make a gal. We're going to make ourselves elevated. We're going to go eat the meal on top of it, which means we're going to live on top of it. It's going to be like you eat a meal. It's your gashmias is going to be on top of it. It's all going to be in an elevated form. Then you've accomplished something. And that's what Lavan says. Then Lavan understands that. And Lavan says, and this is when we're respected, because Lavan said, V'yomer Lavan l'ak, v'nei ha'gal hazeh. Here's the gal. V'nei matzeva asher yirisi, b'nei v'necha. And Lavan himself says, and that's what's going to separate us. Because I don't want to go up on the mound. I want to stay down here. Okay, thank you. It's nice meeting you. That's love. He says, Lavan says, I'm down here. You want to make a matzeva? You want to make a mound? That's right, you can go. But Yaakov himself, and that'll be the separation. So it's not just a matter of being separate. That's a beautiful thing. We should talk and maintain ourselves in Am Yisrael. This could die. But really, what the ultimate talk is, the ultimate purpose is we make a mound for ourselves, we make ourselves higher, we make ourselves better. And that's, I think, why the Gal. And that's the lesson of the Gal, and that's the lesson of Lag BaOmer. It's a time when, what was Lag BaOmer? It says, why do we make such a big deal of Lag BaOmer? So they say there's a Torah of Nigla, that means the Torah that we all learn and the Torah that we have and has all the halakhas and so on, and the Torah of Nistar. There's a Torah that is secret Torah that gives the reasons why the world was created, the reasons why everything is, the much deeper understanding, not just the here's what you do and here's what you don't do, but why? All the whys, that's the Torah of Nistar, that's what he taught. And that's why we celebrate. It's considered a Kabbalah Satira. A Kabbalah Satira of the Nigla, of the Nistar, is Lag BaOmer. And what does that Kabbalah Satira do for us? It makes us elevated. It makes us higher. And when we become higher, that is the purpose of the Tyra, and that's the purpose of making the mound, and that's the purpose of Lag BaOmer. So I think we have a little bit of a very geschmack understanding of all the different aspects of this, in this sense of Lag BaOmer. So we go back, and why Rav Shimon Yochai said what he said? Because he needed to make that separation. Why Rabbi Akiva was willing to lose his life in order to show the primacy of Tyra? Why Yaakov, each time, in a very, by the way, you can also learn from him how ably he said it. At the same time he was separating for them, he never said one shlech tvort. He never said one not nice thing. It was always with the greatest of kavod, with the greatest of derech eretz, how he separated himself out. Okay, let's do one more thing. We have a couple of minutes, so let's do one or two more things. So at the end of the Sedra, I'm just missing something. But, okay, I will have to say it over. Okay, at the end of the Sedra, so we have an amazing story that happens at the end of the Sedra. Let's take a look. And this is like sort of a downer. At the end of the Sedra, we have the story of page. Here we go to page 359. So what do we have before that? Pasuk Yud. Vayetze ben ish Yisraelis. A man went out. Vahu ben ish Mitzri. And he was of a mixed marriage. He was the only one that they said in the whole Klal Yisrael that was a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man. By the way, this shows that he's still Jewish. Yachta ben Yisraelis, Vish Yisraeli, got into a fight. But, and we got into a fight, so we won't go into that.
What page?
Page 359, the end of the parashah. Perakov Dalet, Pasuk Aleph. Vayiko ben Ish Yisraelis, Es Hashem. And he goes and he blasphemes. Vayikalel, Vayaviyu Aysel Moshe, they bring him to Moshe, Vashem Imo, Shlomis Bazdivi, his mother, Shlomis Bazdivi, Lamate Don. Vayichu, Bamishmer, Lifresh Lohem, Alpi Hashem. They put him in the mission of what to do. So this happens, this terrible incident, and later on they'll stone him. Okay. But in the meantime, here's what it says. Hashem tells Moshe what to do. V'davashal Moshe lemar, ha'itzias mekal, and v'chutz l'machim, samchu, kol ha'shem es yudeim, all those who heard it blaspheme, put their hands al rosho, v'ragmos l'kol ha'edim, they should stone him. Now, so that would seem to be the end of the incident. And that would be fine. If the parsha ended here, everybody would say, the Balkari would say, ragmos l'kol ha'edim, you know, and that would be it. Ragmuk eskaleida. Got it right. Okay, but the pasuk goes on. Velbedei Yisrael tadaber lemor. And then we go and we say, ish ki yikal elokav nasav. We talk about the whole halacha of blaspheming. The whole halacha of chas v'shalom cursing. V'naik Hashem Hashem mos yumas. Ragm yirgum ekaleida. He should be stoned. Kager kazm nakter Hashem yumas. Okay. So, I could end the parasha here. V'nakter Hashem yumas. That's the end of the parasha. But it keeps going. Okay, maybe I can end the parasha there, not only Hashem, but a person. But then we go, and if you kill a behemah, you have to pay for it. So we went, two psukim, from the halach of cursing Hashem to killing a person to killing an animal. Isn't that something? I mean, what is this all about? Vish kiitim mum bamiso. Then we go down to if you just hurt him, shever tach shever, yad tach yad. You know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Ve'davre maishos ben hisov ayaitz yasek mekal, and they took him out. And here's how the parsha ends. So Mordechai Kamenetsky has this very good question: is what is this all doing in the middle about that we talk about? You know, other things. It seems almost like incongruous. Almost not their heretic to talk. We're talking about cursing Chas v'Shalom, the Ribbono Shalom, and now you're talking in between. You talk about a behemah. How does it go together? So he says the famous story, the famous Ribbono Shneipshit story. We'll say it quickly because we said it a million times here. Famous story, Ribbono Shneipshit. Ribbono Shneipshit was one traveling on Yom Kippur. He had to be in a different place. Okay, so he had to spend Yom Kippur in a small town without telling him that he's a chief rabbi of Prague, Hamburg and Altoona. He enters a shul. And he looks for a place to sit. So he sees in the center of the shul is an older man who's swaying fervently, tears swelling in his eyes. How encouraging, thought the rabbi. I will sit next to him. His prayers will inspire me. And it was true. The man was crying the whole davening, and tears flowing down his face. And he's saying, surely in death, Ribbono Shel Olam, and I'm nothing next to you. I'm dirt, I'm ashes. And he's crying hysterically, and he's davening, and he's shuckling, and he's swaying. And Ribbono Shel Olam is like, what? Where this mom's one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim. He's maybe one of the 10 Tzaddikim. I mean, he's down to number 5. You know, who is it? He says, then, during the reading of the Torah, something amazing happened. A man from the front of the show was called for Shlishi, which is considered to be, at least in Litvish places, the most chashuv aliyah. By the Hasidim, it's Shishi, but they give that to the Rebbe. But here's Shlishi. So, all of a sudden, Yonison Eichitz's neighbor charges the bima. And he starts screaming at the gabbai, what kind of nerve is this? I know how to learn 10 times better than the man. I give 10 times as much stock as him. How'd you give him shlishi and not give it to me? It's a nerve, it's a chutzpah. And he charges off, he runs back to his seat, and he's fuming. So Bianish and Eibschitz, who was so feeling probably a little bit, you know, foolish, like he thought so highly of this man, he says, I don't understand. What happened? You were crying like a baby the whole davening, and now you have this tantrum? So he says, what's the problem? Just compare it to Hashem. I'm nobody. Compare it to him. 10 times I know more than him. He goes into the same tirade. So he says that's the pshat. He says often people are wary when it comes to chashuv, and they're very careful. It comes to a bunch of them, everyone's careful. Nobody's going to say a word. But to other people, they'll trample on other people on their way to shul. They'll trample on other people to get to the Rebbe. They'll trample on other people. They won't even notice because they're so busy with the big people, they forget about the little people. So the Torah wants to tell you that at the same time we're talking about somebody, Rachmanson, cursing Hashem, terrible punishment, don't think that that absolves you, that that's all the Torah cares about. Okay. Torah cares about the little person too. Torah even cares about the behemoth. Even about the animal, the Torah worries about. Everything is chashu to the Torah. Everything has to be. So that's the lesson that we tell. So we end the parsha. So we don't end it and just talk about you shouldn't be mekal. But it says also you have to be careful with the behema. You have to be careful with the person. You have to be careful with everybody. That's like a big lesson. If we can even learn a little bit to learn how to be careful with everybody that we deal with, we'll have come to a great madrigal. So I think we learned a little bit about Lag Baomer. Learned about the Rishim and Yochai and the Lag Baomer that's coming up. I hope you have a little bit of a feeling for Lag Baomer. As we said, it's considered Matan Torah of Nistar. It's the Torah of Kabbalah that we learn, which gives the magnificent harmony and the symphony of the world is within that. And that was revealed to us by Rishim ben Yochai. And Rishim ben Yochai understood, as we said before, that was the way we're going to elevate ourselves. And that was the lesson we get from Yaakov and the Gal that he built. Shkai, thank you everybody for coming. Mitzvah, next week we will go to the end of part of Sefer of Yikra Mitzvah.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for coming, and thank you for bringing along a yes. Hope you'll come again.